You said Bridgerton season four not coming to Netflix. I'm like, where is it going?
That would be that would cause chaos.
I'll figure that out later.
I'm gonna be pissed if it goes somewhere that I don't get. All right. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Horror, Wine, and Crime with KK and Lo. Lo, how's it going?
What up? I am better than I was last week. Yay.
Yes, she is.
Last week, I wasn't even in
this time of year.
I don't know what it was, but it wasn't healthy.
I think when we recorded last week was like the very beginning of you not feeling super great. I feel like I remember you saying like you had like a small headache or like something and you were going to go lay down. And so that was like the very beginning of you being sick for as long as you've been sick.
I think that was the first night. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Flu's going around. Not fun.
It's day 10 now. There's still a cough, a little bit of fatigue, but that's because I'm working back at work. So I get drained a little bit, but
oh yeah,
pushing through.
Well, I'm glad that you're feeling. What'd you say?
I said I had to show up for y'all.
Yes, we appreciate it, Lo. We appreciate it. But I am glad that you're feeling better, and hopefully by Sunday. I'm going to say Sunday. I mean, hopefully more so by tomorrow. But, like, if I'm being, like, more realistic, hopefully by Sunday you're just, like, 100% much better, you know?
I'm going to try to control my coughing. It seems like every time I say the word, I start coughing.
It's on the brain.
So if I do happen to cough, my apologies, but I will try to keep it under control.
You're okay. We all understand. We've all been there. Everybody, every single person listening, I know you have all been sick at least once in your life, and the cough is always the last lingerer, and sometimes it lasts way too long. So cough away. We are okay with it. But yeah, today is going to be a little bit kind of different, I guess. Like, it's not going to be like a one crime story. Lo sent me two of these kind of hot topics. They're kind of more like hot topic episodes or whatever of stuff that is going around in the news world. So Lo sent me a couple and I threw another one in there. So it's kind of going to be more like a conversation type piece. Just giving you guys some info on some stuff that's been happening.
See, even on my deathbed, I'm pushing stories across the desk to her.
That's how dedicated she is, okay? She is dedicated. But yeah, they were great recommendation stories, so I'm excited to talk about them and just get into it, I guess.
Well, while you think of that, I do have one little piece of gossip that I wanted to touch on.
Ooh, yes.
Real quick, I love how I can see your dog. Is that your dog's butt in the background?
No, it's his like shoulder. His
watch. Okay.
He'll lift his head up. There's his head.
Gotcha. It looked like his butt. I just thought it was like the perfect. I was like, has she got that like right at his butthole?
I'm like, it's not that kind of show, dude.
So while Crystal gets her thought back, I was just going to tell you guys that I heard a little bit of tea on the streets. Okay. People are talking. And it is Kevin Costner trying to court Jennifer Lopez? Okay.
Kevin Costner?
Yeah, he just went through a messy divorce. She's going through a messy divorce. She would go and I don't know if she went on set, but she was obsessed with Yellowstone.
Okay, same.
And I guess Ben Affleck didn't kind of like that part. So it said that he had sent her champagne and some flowers, and I'm kind of here for it. Okay.
Okay. Because Kevin.
Let me tell you, right? Like, dude, I can picture it now. Like J-Lo would be like, do you want to play bodyguard?
Right.
Do you want to be my bodyguard? Cause he could totally do that. But let me tell you why I like it. He's older. He's distinguished. He knows what he wants. He's not going to play these bullshit baby mama drama games. Okay. Like, we'll go out. If it works, it doesn't. If it doesn't, I can see him saying, let's just cut our ties. And you know what I mean? Like, I feel like he's going to be way more classier than Ben. He is a very private person, which J-Lo is more in the limelight, but I feel like she's not like drama limelight. You know what I mean? Like the Heidi Montage crap that's going on right now. So I don't know. I can kind of see with her being with an older gentleman, that might be better for her. I'm kind of here for it.
Yeah, I kind of would love to just see how that plays out. Just to be like, what is happening here? So I hope that that's kind of true. But I guess, yeah, we'll see. I did forget he was getting divorced. So when you said it, I'm like, wasn't he married? But that's right. He did go through like a pretty... It was pretty messy, wasn't it? Didn't he like cheat with somebody on the show? Like, that's what I heard. He cheated on his wife with somebody who worked on Yellowstone, not necessarily an actor on the show, but like someone behind the scenes.
Oh, I didn't hear that. I don't know. But she's way younger than him. She's like 20 years younger than him.
Yeah, there is quite a bit of a age difference there.
But on another note, there's another article that was posted today, I think. And it said, is Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez are not done yet since the divorce? Word got back to Ben about how, you know, she's been just sad and, you know, having some struggle with it. So I guess he reached back out and they've been kind of, it said, reported growing closer together post-divorce. So I don't know if his jealousy is kicking in. You know, in my mind, I'm thinking, Ben left Jen. Ben goes back to Jen. Then he back to other Jen. And then when Jen, baby mama, is like, no, I'm in a relationship. I ain't taking you back. He's like, oh, shit. Skirts back around and goes back to J-Lo. That's kind of what I'm thinking. Like,
but I could totally see that. Yeah, I can never see Jennifer Gardner taking him back.
I would hope not. It sounds like she's in a good relationship and
yeah,
he's just a miserable whatever. And his mm-hmm. beard isn't as cool as Eminem's, so whatever.
He doesn't even come close to being as cool.
So you're not the beard, okay? Eminem is the beard.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I'm not a huge Affleck fan. Especially within the last like eight to 10 years, I've been like, eh. And like every time I see him, he just looks like crabby. He just looks so crabby and miserable. And it's like what is wrong? Like, I don't know. If he hates being famous so much, I just feel like, I don't know. I just think it's funny that he like married J-Lo, but he like acts like he hates fame so much.
Yeah, pretty much. And I thought he was with some little bimbo tween type girl, but who knows? But that was my little Hollywood, I see you situation.
Ooh. Well, hey, I love that hot tea that you had for us because I am super curious to see how that situation might play out. I hope it does play out because I just like would love to see that.
Yeah, maybe she'll make cameos on Yellowstone.
Well, he's not even in Yellowstone anymore.
I know, spoil. Because he's doing that eight or some other Western. He couldn't do both.
Oh, okay.
So he's in.
Yeah, I know contractually something, yeah, didn't work out.
He wanted to explore new avenues. He was on Dax Shepard Armchair and they were talking about it.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, he wasn't on, I think Yellowstone's just over now. And so the last season just came out and he wasn't in it, but I don't think it's coming back. But yeah, I really liked that show. But yeah, the season without him was definitely my least favorite season. But yes, on to today's hot topics. So if you guys did not listen to our episode on Selena, actually, I think there were two of them, weren't there?
What,
two? I think it was a part two on Selena.
I think we did. I think we did. Part one was Selena's life story. Part two was the actual murder and story behind her, like not her okay. whole story, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, like how everything like happened and unfolded. Yeah. Okay. That is true. Yeah, we did have those two parts. So if you guys haven't listened to those, go back and listen. It's like a few, I think it's a few, maybe two seasons ago at this point. But yes, super in-depth on that. But her killer, Miss Yolanda Saldivar, she is apparently getting a parole hearing after serving 30 years in prison in Texas.
Not enough.
No. So, yeah, she's 63 years old right now. She filed for parole in Texas, and she's currently under review while she's incarcerated. Now, her parole hearing isn't scheduled until March 30th, so, you know, we'll catch you guys up on whatever happens or whatever comes from that. But, yeah, this is, like, her first opportunity for release since she received her life sentence back in October of 1995. So craziness. But yeah, like I said, go back and listen to our episodes on it. But basically, if you don't really know the story, just to give you like a gist, like a little rundown of it, basically Yolanda was Selena's clothing boutique's manager, and she was president of her fan club. But she ended up getting fired because Selena's family accused her of kind of being shady with the finances.
A little bit of sticky fingers.
Yeah, for sure. And that ultimately led her to decide to shoot the 23-year-old Selena to death in a motel in Corpus Christi, Texas. Which, it was so freaking wild. And, like, obviously, despite her getting convicted and sentenced to life in prison at that point, she literally still to this day has, like, maintained her innocence, saying that, you know, she just said something different happened. So
the gun accidentally went off.
Like, which is so crazy. Like her thing. So something that she said was, Selena, when she came into the hotel room, she kept trying to put guilt in me for not continuing with her and how everything was going to crumble. My emotions were running so high and I was hurting. You know, she was saying that it was like an accident and she was like more so suicidal. Because even when police found her in the parking lot, she was threatening suicide. And, you know, so her claim was that the weapon was like intended for herself and not intended for Selena, but like it just happened that way. But it's like, we all know you did it, girl. We all know how it really played out, because that's just her like cover story. Either way, you killed the girl, whether you intended to or not, you still killed her. But my opinion is that she did intend on killing her.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. She's just shady. Not a good person at all. And, you know, not only, like, were Selena fans just completely devastated and shocked at the death of her, but, like, literally the media went wild on this case, too. And it led, like, so many more people just to learn about Selena and, like, all of her talents and, like, what really ended up happening to her. Yeah, people were not happy. They were pissed, as they should be. And I think it's kind of funny. Because so in this article from the New York Post, it's even says that some of Yolanda's like former inmates kind of talked about her like experience in there. And, you know, somebody, Marisol Lopez said, everyone knows who Yolanda Saldivar is. There's a bounty on her head. Like everyone wants a piece of her. The guards keep her away from everyone else because she's hated so much. So I think it's so funny that like even like the inmates have it out for her. Even another one told the New York Post, everyone was always like, let me have 5 minutes with that bitch. Everyone wanted to get justice for Selena. There's a target on her back. So she probably has not had the easiest time in prison, I'm sure.
If she does get out, one, and muted when I coughed. I don't know if it picks it up when you record.
Oh, so no, I didn't hear.
So maybe Kay will edit it if she hears it, or she'll get lucky and when I hit mute, then you don't hear my cough.
I didn't hear it through this, so I don't think I will, but we'll see. We'll see. You guys will find out through afterwards.
What I was going to say was that if she gets out, one, she may want to just go to Ireland, because if you go back to Mexico, because I mean, that was Selena, you know what I mean? The Latinas.
Oh, yeah. Like, she's going to be, if she gets out, she's like.
But Selena also did the crossover to Texas and, you know, the America culture, and they love Selena too. So, you know, here, you're probably going to be wanted. Now, if Trump has his way, you're going to be considered a convicted felon. So you may be forced to go back because your green card will probably be expired, I'm assuming, if you're a felon. I'm not sure how all that works. But either way, she might be safer in prison in her little hole of a cell block that she stays in, is what it boils down to.
Yeah.
Or like, find a country that doesn't know who Selena is, because everybody loves Selena.
Literally, like, and if she does get out, which I don't think she's going to, but if she did, she would probably have to stay in Texas because she would probably be like on parole and stuff. So like for however long she would be paroled, she would have to stay there. And I can't imagine the people of Texas would be too welcoming for her.
Yeah. So, but we'll have Crystal keep us updated. And as soon as we know, you guys will know.
Yeah, definitely. We'll keep you guys updated. Like I said, March 30th is her big date to see how it goes. But I'm hoping that, you know, they just deny her, which I'm assuming that's what will happen. But I think she's just kind of screwed either way, like Lo was saying. Like, she's screwed if it gets denied and she's stuck in prison, or she's screwed if it gets approved and she's on parole in Texas, just like out with a bunch of people who freaking hate her. Like, probably no good outcome for her, which, I mean, you know, you reap what you sow. So it's her fault. So I don't feel bad. But yeah, definitely interested to see how that's gonna play out. Now, this next story that Lo sent is, it's not funny. Like, it's actually not funny. I was going to say funny, but like, it's just like, oh, wow. What the heck?
I know. I kind of thought that too. Like, it's the story is not funny. It's funny how it's been presented and how I found it.
Yeah. It was kind of just like, almost like a shock thing. Like, oh, you would not have expected that, but the story itself is not funny. So basically, a Texas deputy who, oh, we're talking about both these stories are Texas. I just realized. I should just call this Texas,
you know.
Yeah, we should just call this episode
Texas Tea Talk. Well, I don't know, where was Yellowstone at? Was that Colorado or something?
Montana? No, I think that's Montana.
Montana.
And also, now that I'm thinking about it, the last one that I threw in here is not Texas either, but whatever. Well, the main two are Texas.
Right.
But yeah, so a Texas deputy who appeared on a TV court show has been charged with killing his wife. Crazy. So this happened in July of 2019. His name was Reynard Spivey. He was a sheriff's deputy in Texas who appeared on the popular TV show Justice for All with Judge Christina Perez. Now, when you hear that name, you might be like, I don't know if I've seen that. But like, once you see this, the judge, who it is, you'll be like, oh no, I've seen this one.
Cute little black lady.
Yeah. And it's a good, I love all the court shows. I used to like watch them like whenever they were just randomly on TV.
That is the best part of being homesick.
Right? Literally. Because it's all like throughout the middle of the day on TV.
It's Price is Right and then Divorce Court all day.
Yeah. So, seriously. So, like, you know, when you're watching those court shows, and there's like the sheriff standing off on the side, and they kind of like banter sometimes like back and forth. Yeah, with the judge and everything. So he was one of those. Crazy enough, he has been charged with murder after his wife was found shot twice in their bedroom closet, according to the criminal complaint. So he had called 911 early on that Sunday morning to tell them that there had been shots fired after an argument that he had with his wife. So the 63-year-old dispatcher later told police that he and his wife had been tussling with the gun, kind of like messing around with it, I guess, back and forth, and that he accidentally shot her. He was also shot in the leg and told police that his wife was the one who had shot his leg. He told officers, "We had been arguing all day." At least he was honest, I guess, you know? He's the one that, like, called and he was, like, being honest about it. Or I'm hoping that he was being honest about it. But, yeah, it just kind of sounds like a bad argument gone terribly wrong.
All day for life, so you should see how it's going to play out.
Right, and especially a lot of those court cases are, like, relationship based, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's usually like exes going against each other. So you'd think he would like take notes or something. I don't really know. But yeah, definitely went awry that night. So he was booked into jail on the next day, Monday night, according to the Harris County Sheriff's Office. He was expected to be released that Wednesday on a $50,000 bond. Which this is all coming from his defense attorney, Mike DeGurin. And Mike did a phone interview saying he's a good person with a great record. He works in law enforcement and courtrooms for a long time. He says, "What I know about the case and reading reports is that there was a shooting with a gun in his house and his wife was shot twice and he was shot once in the leg. We're trying to determine now the order of the shots and what happened." So prosecutors had initially asked for his bail to be $100,000 because they said he was a danger to the community and a flight risk. But Spivey, he was hired as a detention officer in 1996, and then he became deputy in 1998. And Houston is part of the county located in southeastern Texas. So he kind of has a reputation right around there, you know, working within the, like, law force and everything. The Harris County Sheriff's Office family extends our sincere condolences to the family of Patricia Spivey as they mourn the loss of their loved one. And that was Ed Gonzalez, county sheriff, who said that. He says, "While the facts of the specific case will be determined by a jury, I encourage all victims of domestic violence to seek assistance from law enforcement and others whom they trust. I also ask anyone who suspects a friend or loved one may be the victim of abuse to persist in helping them escape and or escape a potentially deadly situation," he said. So I guess he was kind of painting it as like a domestic abuse situation. Obviously it was domestic violence because they both shot each other, but he was painting it as him being abusive, but that never was like proven. It wasn't proven that like the relationship was overall abusive. All they know is that they just had like this terrible night that ultimately led to her death. So a Houston Police Department investigator talked to Patricia Spivey's. So Patricia was his wife who passed away. So this investigator talked to her brother. His name was Ezra Washington, who said that the couple had been fighting over Patricia's suspicions that Reynard was possibly back on steroids or having an affair. I don't know. It's, I guess it was like one or the other, because I guess there was lack of intimacy in their relationship. So she was just starting to get suspicious of him. And she's like, you're either using steroids or you're having an affair. And then it turned into this like explosive argument. Her brother even told investigators that Reynard had previously told him, she's counting my pills, which his pills were low testosterone medication. And he told him that she was claiming that I'm sleeping with someone else. So he kind of knew a little bit about like the drama that was, I guess, going on in their relationship. Also in the complaint, Washington told police that Reynard once told him that his wife called him the Incredible Hulk, and that at some point she would make him rise up like the Incredible Hulk and, quote, it ain't gonna be good, Washington said Reynard Spivey told him. I don't really know what that means. I don't know if you can decipher that, but I'm like, is that a good thing or is that like a bad thing? I don't really understand what that means exactly, but I guess she would call him the Incredible Hulk, and she would make him. I don't know if that means like his anger, maybe.
That's what I'm thinking, like, because you know, the Hulk, you're not gonna like me when I'm green,
yeah.
So I feel like him saying, like, the way he hulks out and rages out, it's not gonna be good, something's gonna happen.
Okay, that makes sense. That because I was like, is that a good thing or like a bad thing? Because then I was thinking like the steroids. I'm like, is she talking? Is she just saying that he's buff? But no, I think your explanation makes much more sense. So he might have had some anger issues in the past. It kind of sounds like from that. And that's like him saying that himself. So her brother also told the investigator that the deputy would hurt his wife when they spoke. He said that he had told Reynard that if things were that bad between the couple, he should just leave. So an autopsy that was taken determined that his wife, Patricia, had been shot twice. One of the bullets had gone through her right arm. Once the bullet went through her arm, it caused the bone to break. The arm would be incapable of use immediately, the complaint said. This is all coming from the medical examiner, which the examiner also noted that she had minor bruising around her wrists. And it notes that Reynard appears to be right-handed, and he was shot through his left thigh area. So I don't know if that's like being like, maybe he shot his own leg.
You know what I mean? I was thinking when you first started the story, I'm like, he's shot in the leg. Like, he so easily could have did that himself.
Right. Like, to be like, oh shit, I just killed my wife. Like, I need to like come up with a story in my head. So he shoots his own leg to be like, she shot me and the gun was just out of control. So I think that's kind of what they're insinuating. Like, she had, you know, bruises on her wrists and he's right-handed and shot his left leg, which I guess is just like, who's to say, who knows? Because he could have shot his right leg too. I guess it doesn't matter which one, but I don't know. Just definitely an interesting note that they made there. Now, the complaint also says evidence indicated that 3 shots were fired in the closet and Patricia was shot twice, which is inconsistent with Reynard's statement saying that he accidentally shot Patricia and that the firearm accidentally discharged during a struggle. So I guess in his statement, he's basically saying the gun only went off twice, but it ended up being discovered that it went off 3 times. There's ultimately, what'd you say?
I was going to say, there's some holes in this house. but
right, literally,
I wanted to see like holes in the story, but it didn't have the same beat effect.
we got what you were saying. Yeah, I'm kind of thinking the same thing. I'm like, I mean, I could see it from both sides, maybe, like, because when you're like just listening to this, it's like, this is so fishy. Like, I feel like he planned it out, not planned it out, but like, you know, he has this like backstory or whatever. But also I'm like, well, devil's advocate, maybe he's so flustered and can't believe that that just happened. And like, it was like a shuffle of the gun and he wasn't trying to kill his wife. And he's just so like mentally out of it because of everything that just happened that he doesn't even remember that it went off three times. And he's just like, so I don't know. It could be either way. But you would think, since he's like worked in law enforcement for so long, that he would be able to like note those things better. I don't know. Ultimately, court records show that the former Harris County deputy and reality TV bailiff Raynard has been found not guilty in the 2019 shooting death of his wife. So after 12 hours of deliberations in court, he was ultimately acquitted of murder. So his defense team believes that the jury doubted the state's theory that he killed his wife because his marriage was falling apart. Spivey's attorney, Dick DeGruen, sorry if I'm saying that wrong, he says, "I don't believe either Mr. or Mrs. Spivey intended to let that gun fire. I think each discharge was accidental." ABC 13 also obtained the 911 call that Raynard made moments after the shooting. I guess during the more than 10-minute long call, he said, "I accidentally shot her." And Mike and Dick said that they believe the jury's doubt stemmed from the state's inability to prove who was holding the gun that was fired. But it's like, I don't think she was holding it and fired it on herself. But I mean, maybe. I don't know. But Raynard's defense team said that there were two lawyers who were part of the jury, which also may have contributed to his acquittal. So yeah, he ended up walking away a free man.
Well, I guess like OJ said, you know, if the evidence don't fit, you must acquit.
Yeah, literally, like, definitely.
Not that I agree in this case, but, you know.
Right, yeah. Yeah, this is, like, a tricky one because it's, like, I don't know, because it could go either way. So it's, like, super hard to say. You know what I mean? Like, it could have been, like, a one-off really, really. But also, why was a gun there anyways? Like, who brought out the gun? Like, why are we even holding a gun? Because yeah, that's, like, a very intentional thing to do. Like when you're arguing, you just pull out a gun. Like, I don't know. So I don't think that he should have, again, I don't know like the, like what happened, the full extent. I don't think anybody ever will, but except him, he knows, but I don't necessarily think he should have like completely gotten off freely because his wife still was murdered. Like, I'm assuming he's the one that shot her, but I guess they don't know that for sure. I don't know. It's so, like, difficult. I don't really know what to think, but I'm like, should he be, like, completely not guilty and just be, like, a free man right now? I don't know.
Well, I guess I say you have to have, you know, reasonable doubt, and if there isn't any, then, or have some.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's definitely tricky. This is where, like, law stuff is so confusing to me, or like tricky, because it's like there's just so many, like, it's just not black and white, you know. There's just so many different scenarios that it's like, I don't really know what's right and what's wrong.
I know,
but yeah, that was a definitely crazy story. So like, if you guys get what I mean, like, it's not a funny story, like a woman died, like it's not funny, but just like, you wouldn't expect one of those like TV court bailiffs to be like accused of murdering their wife. So it's just kind of like shocking in that way. So shout out to Lo for finding that and sending that over to me.
I happened to come across it and I was like, oh my God. And I was going to do it myself. And then Crystal was checking on me and I said, hey, you know, I got two stories. And I sent her the Selena one. I said, take them if you want them. And then she checked in again. She's like, what were those stories? I'm like, yeah, okay. Here you go. So I'm glad you did. I'm glad you looked into it. It's crazy. There's been a lot of like things where I wanted to take notes and be like, oh my God, we should totally talk about this. But then I'm like dead to the world. Like,
you were sick. Yeah.
Because all I had was like, I watched hours and hours of Jersey Shore.
Love that. Which, honestly, the best way to heal.
I'm like season six. I'm like, Lawrence, you need to sit down for a minute. Okay, know your place. Angelina, JY was right. You make your mess and it bleeds all over. But at the same time, I'm like, Mike, it wouldn't bleed all over if you would just stay out of it. You brought it to everybody's attention, not Angelina. Sorry, I was kind of on her side a little bit this time. And just like, what the fuck is happening to this crew? I am sick and I can't handle the stress. Everybody is fighting.
You entered a very dramatic part of the show, I feel like. Because I feel like sometimes it's super light and like there's not that much drama or it's like not that serious. But yeah, I remember those episodes where it's like, oh, there's a lot going on right now.
The only thing that kept me going in positivity was the blessification. I was singing that song for days. I'm like, blessification.
Oh, man.
And the fact that Pauly D is his godfather and J-Wow is his godmother, who's actually younger than him.
Love that. So, I freaking love that. But
I do love it that there's that type that he thought of them, you know, keeping it with that family rather than, you know, whatever. I finished the book.
Oh, did it's a you great love book. It?
If you ever want to read it, Crystal, feel free to borrow it. I think you'd actually get into it a lot. I'm surprised that man's alive. For as much as Oxy, he was taking a day, like
damn,
30 pills a day at least.
That's so crazy. Did he ever OD?
No.
Okay. I wasn't sure if he ever experienced that or not.
Probably pretty dang close, but yeah.
Yeah.
It was definitely like, wow. And all the things that were going on in the early Jersey Shores. Like, he wasn't even a drinker. He said the cups were usually pop. He was a pill person. He wasn't even really an alcohol person. Okay. And like he would like take off running to get his pills and the producers and cops are chasing him and he's trying to lose them. And the whole tanning place throughout season one was really like hidden pills in the bathrooms for him constantly. That was his drug mule. Like, there's so much stuff. It was like mind blowing. But then that's you see Mike now and you're just like, oh my God, like I love new Mike, you know? Like,
I know, he's so much nicer. I hated him in the first show. Oh, like I never liked him.
I didn't either.
Like, there was really never a point that I was like, oh, he's okay. I feel like I just always hated him.
Like, he was always him and JWoww and Pauly were like right off the bat like fan favorites.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Gosh. That is so crazy how far he's come.
I know. So that was pretty good.
This kind of like ties into the next little thing I threw in, just you talking about like celebrity, like, and like him using drugs or whatever. So there's some like Cyrus family drama going on. I don't know if you heard about this. I mean, there's been drama going on for like a while with their family, but this specific thing is like actually really sad. So
no, I have not. I heard that you haven't heard. Ex-wife is speaking out against Billy now, but I didn't read what it was.
Okay. Yeah, so basically, Billy Ray Cyrus performed at, like, an inauguration event for Trump. And his performance was quite interesting, to say the least. If you did not watch it, basically, the music went off. I mean, you can find it all over the internet, so, like, after you guys hear this, you can, if you didn't see it, you can like Google it and it'll pop up everywhere. But basically the music went off and Billy Ray was just like, he was really getting into it, but he was like skipping around the stage and it was like a whisper talk, acapella, voice he was doing of his song Old Town Road. You could tell he was super into it, but it was very clear that like something wasn't right going on with him. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So yeah. And I just have to say, as an avid Hannah Montana fan growing up and like watching him on that show, he was one of my favorites when I was like a kid watching this show. And it's just honestly sad because like I said, you could just really tell that something was very wrong, you know? Yeah. And obviously I don't know like what goes on in his life. I don't know if it's like a mental health issue happening or if it's a drug issue. But there's definitely an issue because even his family is pointing it out. So, kind of before we get into like this thing, like I said before, like even months back, there was more Cyrus family drama going on. So like Billy Ray and his younger wife, they quickly got married and then divorced in like a very dramatic way. And then even like Miley's mom, Tish, she married a guy that supposedly was dating her daughter, Noah Cyrus, not too long before that, which caused Noah and like her other sibling, Brazen, to not even go to her mom's wedding. So there's just like a lot of drama going on in the Cyrus clan this last year. But yeah, kind of back to like this current drama going on. So after Billy Ray's performance, a lot of people were concerned. And his oldest son, Trace, he wrote an open letter to his dad showing his concern because apparently, like, as of now, that's the only way he can get his dad's attention. So, yeah, in the open letter, it says, Trace Cyrus says he and his sisters are genuinely worried about Billy Ray Cyrus. So I won't read, like, the whole thing. I'll just read, like, a snippet from it or whatever. But in his letter, it says, quote, since my earliest memories, all I can remember is being obsessed with you and thinking you were the coolest person ever. I wanted to be just like you. The day you adopted me was the happiest day of my life. Sadly, the man that I wanted to so desperately be like, I barely recognize now. It seems like this world has beaten you down and it's become obvious to everyone but you. He also acknowledged that his father may be upset with him making this public post, but he wrote that their family has been genuinely worried about you for years, but you've pushed all of us away. We're all hanging on to memories of the man we once knew and hoping for the day he returns. You're not healthy, Dad, and everyone is noticing it. As I write this with tears in my eyes, I hope you realize this message only comes from a place of love and also fear that the world may lose you far too soon. He ends it by saying, I love you, Dad. We haven't talked in a while, but I'm over a year and a half clean from alcohol. Guess what? I feel amazing, he wrote. I don't know what you're struggling with exactly, but I think I have a pretty good idea, and I'd love to help you if you would open up and receive the help. You know how to reach me. Till that day comes, I will continue to pray for you. So, really nice, sweet letter, I think. You know, I think it's like super sad, but I think he wrote it like really nicely and everything. But Billy Ray's response, oh my gosh. Sadly, he has supposedly responded to that like lovely open letter by threatening legal action against his own son. So I think that kind of just like shows he's not really in the best state right now. Apparently he's not close with like anybody in his family at the moment, which is really sad because they used to be like a super, super close family. So I just think it's like sad. I hope that he gets the help that he needs and I hope that they can like reunite and like be like a close family again. But yeah, I don't think he's doing well at all.
No, it doesn't sound like it. And hopefully he gets the help. I mean, there are cases where some people, you feel like they're on drugs, but it is a medical thing, you know, like beginning of Alzheimer's or dementia, you know, stuff like that, that make you do crazy things. And people think that it's drugs or something, you know, it could be a tumor of some sort, you know?
Yeah.
Or it could be some kind of, who knows, drug, maybe some kind of shroom, some kind of whatever. Hopefully he does get the help he needs. Hopefully his family doesn't give up on him, and just fight to get him better, I guess, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So that was just sad. I just saw all that kind of happen. So I was like, oh, I'll just throw that in here too, because that was kind of circulating around like the news tabloids and stuff. I hope he doesn't actually try to like legally go for his son. Like, I don't think anything would come of it because there's not really a case there, but
I'm sure Mama Bear jumped in real quick.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. But yeah, just craziness and just our best thoughts to the family. Hopefully they get it figured out and he can just he can get better.
Which she said.
But yeah, that was all the story discussion topics, whatever you want to call them, for this episode.
Well, thank you. It's been a fun little table talk today, and we will have some more fun stuff coming up for you next week. Now that I'm, like I said, in the upright position, we will get back hard to work. I can stop just saying, hey, do this, Crystal.
Oh my gosh, you're fine. You can say that. But I am glad that you're feeling better, because I know, especially the flu, like that is such not a fun time at all. Like,
it's just a cough. The cough is so terrible. Like, Does it hurt? Only when you cough, and then you cough so hard that you're either A, your body thinks you have to throw up.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, you got to change your underwear because you start dripping because you're coughing so hard. You're like, everything is just coming out. You're like, oh dear God. Not in a gross way. Not like, not number two, just number one. But just wanted to specify that.
Okay? She's clarifying. It's a good clarification.
This is not a Dax Shepherd evacuation story, okay?
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Just saying.
But all of his poop your pants stories that he has, and
I just had a new ones out. Yeah. Hi, Lola Butts. My Lola Butts is here.
Aww. Oh, I just heard her.
I'm rubbing her ears.
She likes it.
Well, thank you for delivering as usual.
Well, thank you for supplying the content.
And yeah, can't wait to see what's going to happen with the Yolanda case. And I'm here for it. Hopefully she stays where she needs to be. And I'm going to let you go to do what you need to do. And I'm going to go be where I need to be. And we're going to continue this next week.
Sounds good. Stay creepy, guys.
We got to go.
Bye.
And remember, a bitty bitty bum bum.
Oh, yes.
Bitty bitty bum bum.
I think we ended that episode with that song, too.
I think so, too.
Classic. Bye.
Bye.